this time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Longworth.
Title of the message today, and I know this sounds like a big issue, and it is a big issue. And if it seems like that I'm pointing at someone, you notice that I have three fingers and a thumb that are pointing back at me, and I'm not singling out any individual or any particular church, but the title of the message today is The State of the Church 2021. The State of the Church 2021. The opening passage was Joel chapter 2, the entire chapter. It all hinges on our example, Jesus Christ, and his example of ministry and teaching, including some New Testament passages. Then Jesus returned. This is Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And where he's returning from is he had just been successful in rebuffing all of the temptations and not yielding to any temptations of the enemy. He had gone through 40 days of fasting and seeking the Lord, and he came out victorious, and he used the Word of God, as you'll recall, to be victorious and to express or manifest his victory over the enemy by the Word of God. So then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Once again, this is Luke 4, starting in verse 14. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book, and he gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And of course, if you read on, you find that even though they marveled at the gracious things that came from his mouth, that when he began to proclaim that he was the Messiah, they took him out. They forcefully took him out to a cliff on the hill that overlooked the city and tried to kill him, but he slipped through their midst and went on his way. Remember that Jesus had come to Nazareth before, and it says that he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. And so it's very important that we believe what the Lord says and that we put it into practice. In Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and Caesarea Philippi, by the way, was the headquarters where Jesus actually did most of his ministry from there. He evidently spent a lot of time there. He lived there, and he used that as his headquarters. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, or Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or hell, shall not prevail against it." That being the church, shall not prevail against the church. "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then in 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, "But if I am delayed, I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." That is, that the church is the pillar and ground of truth, and that we are to stand in that truth and understanding, and that we are to do the works of Jesus. And then in Matthew 5:16, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, I want to ask you something right now. Does this format of Jesus' teaching and of Jesus' ministry, the scripture goes on to say, in one place it says that they brought to him many who were sick and many who were possessed with devils or demons, and he healed all of them. Does that sound a whole lot like most of the churches that you're familiar with today? I'm simply asking. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm not criticizing. But, you know, in the 18th chapter of Luke, Jesus gave the parable of the unjust judge and the widow who needed relief. And he said at the end of that, he said that the unjust judge would see to it that she received the relief that she needed, not because that he cared about her, because he didn't care about God or man, but simply because that she kept coming to him. She kept coming back to him and entreating him. And he said, lest this woman wear me out by her continual coming and inquiring and expecting my help, I will answer her plea. And he went on to say, how much more would God answer our prayers and recognize our request as we come to him? God is not an unjust judge, but he said if the unjust judge did what he did because of her importunity, how much more would God the Father grant our request in prayer as we come to him? But he said this, he said, when the Son of Man comes back, when the Son of Man returns to earth, will he find faith on the earth? And I believe the answer is yes, but the fact is we're living in a time when that could be questioned, and we're living in a time when the church doesn't really, the church of today has very little comparison to the early church. And I believe personally, I believe that before Jesus returns, that we're going to see the greatest spiritual awakening that the world has ever seen, and that some of the things that took place in the early church are going to almost look like kindergarten compared to what is going to be happening during that time. Signs and wonders, miracles that we've never really dreamed of before. You see, there's a very important thing about the ministry of Jesus Christ that we need to be aware of. Jesus did not do any of the miracles that he did by virtue of the fact that he was the Son of God. He did not. You read in Philippians that he laid aside his divine prerogatives and that he humbled himself and became a man. He humbled himself to become human flesh. And so we need to realize that everything, you know, in part of the Apocrypha, and I'm not going to get into that in detail, but in part of the Apocrypha, it has stories about Jesus when he was growing up, that he made a little clay bird and then he blessed it, and the bird, the clay bird flew away. It came alive and flew away. There's nothing in inspired scripture that supports that at all. Jesus never did any of the miracles. His ministry did not start. He never did any of the miracles that he was famous for until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came to the River Jordan. John was baptizing people there. John, we know as John the Baptist. John was baptizing people there, and he came to John. John had already said, there's coming one after me that is mightier than I, greater than I. And he said, I'm baptizing you with water, but he said, the one that comes after me, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. I'm not even worthy to take the straps of his sandals loose, but when he comes, he will baptize you, not in water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so he said, the one who comes after me is mightier than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then shortly after that, Jesus shows up at the side or at the bank of the Jordan River, and he says, baptize me, John. And John said, I need to be baptized by you. And why are you asking me to baptize you? And he said, to fulfill all righteousness, please baptize me, John. And so John reluctantly baptized Jesus. He put him down under the water. And when Jesus came up out of the water, a dove flew down and lighted upon him, representing the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was baptized at that moment with the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, he had the power to perform miracles and do the great things that he was famous for. But prior to that time, he did not. Nothing that Jesus ever did in his ministry was by virtue of the fact that he was the Son of God. Everything that he did was by virtue of the fact that he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus could say, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I'm going to my Father. And so we realize that Jesus did everything in his ministry by virtue of the fact that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we have access to the same baptism that Jesus received, and we have access to the same power. Jesus said in the first part of Acts, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so it's by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit that we are able to do anything spiritually, to accomplish anything at all. And so we need to realize, we need to recognize that Jesus didn't cheat. And by that I simply mean that he gave us the same opportunity. He gave us the same commissions and the same opportunities to receive the power that he had in order to do the things that he did, to do the miracles that he did. I want you to understand that Paul wrote in one place, I think in Ephesians, Paul wrote that he said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. One translation says, beyond our wildest imaginations, by the power that worketh in you, or the power that works in you. What power works in Christian people? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of that power. And if we ever forget that, we're in trouble. And I think that's where many churches are today. I don't care how polished or how slick a program is. I don't care how many it brings into the kingdom of God, or brings into the church, at least. The programs will not substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit. They never have. They never will. I remember years ago, I remember sitting in the church that was pastored up in Orlando, church that was pastored by Dr. Roy Hawthorne. And Roy Hawthorne was famous for packing out the church, and they had all kinds of promotions and all kinds of programs going on. And he said one Sunday they had bunches of bananas attached to the walls, and they had a slogan that said something like, be a part of the bunch and bring someone with you next Sunday, or something to that effect. And he said one Sunday, they promoted their Sunday school and church attendance by giving a goldfish. The promotion was to give a goldfish in a plastic bag and water, to give a goldfish to everybody that brought somebody and to every new visitor. So they ordered 1,000 goldfish, and they had this big tank outside. And of course, Orlando's in Florida, and Florida is known as the Sunshine State, and sometimes it gets pretty warm in Florida. So that morning, when they had finished the service and they brought the people out to receive a goldfish, all 1,000 of the goldfish were floating belly up, and they had died because of the heat. And he said, Roy Harthorn said, that morning something died in me, because I realized that regardless of how good the program is that you've used to get people in, that's not God's way of doing things. And he said, I can just imagine Jesus up in heaven, and an angel says to him, look down there, Harthorn, with 1,000 dead goldfish. And Jesus said, yeah, I know. And so, you know, regardless of how polished, regardless of how effective a program may seem, programs are never a substitute for the power of the Holy Spirit, for the drawing, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's only, you know, that's the only reason Jesus was able to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me. You know what Christ means? Christ means the anointed one. And Jesus was the anointed one, but we can also be anointed with that same Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken or make alive your body. And so that Spirit is the Spirit that we are to embrace, the Spirit that we are to honor and reverence. You know, the Bible talks more, I think, about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit than just about anything. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be quenched. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. You know, we can, I believe that that's why the Bible used a dove, a helpless bird, to represent the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit is easily offended, easily grieved. I heard a story once about a man that had a dove, and he had trained the dove to perch on his finger. And after a while, he started teasing the dove and started pinching its little feet. And the dove flew away, but it came back. And he kept doing that. The dove flew away, stayed a little longer, and came back. But the next time he did it, the dove flew away and didn't come back anymore. You know, when David was praying his prayer of repentance, as recorded in the 51st Psalm, one of the things that he pleaded with God about was, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit away." He knew what had happened to King Saul. King Saul stood head and shoulders above the other people in the kingdom. But King Saul started out as a humble person, and then pretty soon he began to take the glory unto himself, and he began to do things his way instead of God's way. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord left him and departed from him. And when Saul visited the witch at Endor, he said at that time, when she called up Samuel, the spirit of Samuel, he told Samuel, he said, "God has left me. He doesn't answer me through prophets or dreams anymore." And Samuel said, "If God has left you, why are you bothering me? I can't help you if God has left you." So I pray that this has been a blessing to you today, and we will continue this next week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Just imagine.